It's time to chit chat. I'm Richard. Let's talk about what's streaming, what I'm liking, what I'm not so much enjoying, and maybe even some random tangents along the way. All right, let's chit chat.
Hello.
Richard, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
You're doing well. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too. Where are you at these days?
Technically, at this very second, I'm in Tampa, Florida, but that's only because I flew here for my job.
What you doing for your job?
I'm a flight attendant.
Are you really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So where'd you guys fly in from?
Seattle.
Okay, okay. Very nice. So this is, you're recording this to like, for film?
Yeah, for possible, okay. Yeah, probably.
Tell me some fun stories. What's been exciting? What have you done?
For this project?
Well, that too.
Oh yeah, life in general. I don't know. It's tough because I was doing improv in Seattle up until, you know, we had that global pandemic, you know.
Oh, that thing. Yeah.
So I got out of practice. But then I started doing a lot of podcasts. So there's that part of it, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's been fun.
All right.
All right. Here we are. We're here. Let's do this. Do you want to... I guess just first of all, tell me who you are, which I know, but just tell me who you are and about your relationship with the Comic Frenzy.
The Comic Frenzy. Well, I'm Christian Busaith, and I was a part of the very first team of Comic Frenzy. Although I wasn't one of the performers, I was the voice. They were formulating Comic Frenzy. Of course, it was Jeff Blake and John Gagnon's brainchild. And for some reason, Jeff didn't want me. This is the word I got. Jeff didn't want me on the team for whatever reason. Some say jealousy. I don't know. I don't know. No, I was the voice. So I would sit up in the box and I would do the announcement like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Comic Frenzy. And everybody come in. So that's how I started. And then. Two semesters into it, I was like, screw this. Like, what the heck? I want to be a part of the team, you know, like an actual part of the team. And so it was James Best, who I've always, I love James. And it was James really that fought for me to be on the team. He had to fight for me to be on the team. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think John or Jeff thought I was funny. I think that might've been it. I don't know.
Yeah. I will say, no, this is perfect for my purposes because I want to just compile a true history of everything. When Jeff Blake was talking to me, he was like, yeah, and Christian wasn't a part of the team at first. He was just the voice of Comic Frenzy. And I was like, oh, okay. And then, he was like, yeah. He's like, I don't know why we just didn't let him be on the team the whole time. You know, because... When you're looking back in retrospect, you're like, oh, that was stupid. But then at the time, it was so serious. We can't have him be on the team right now.
Yeah. For whatever reason, I cannot be on the team. But no, I absolutely, oh my gosh, that's so funny. Whatever the reason was, you look back and you go, man, we were so young. We were so young. And whatever we were feeling, whatever, it seems so long ago and so childish.
Yes.
You know? But I think there was a threatening on. I think everybody felt a little threatened by everybody, and I think that was what pushed us to be the best that we were, if that makes sense. But we weren't. No, I don't even think we felt threatened. That's not the thing. Yeah, we didn't feel threatened. we felt like a cohesive team, but we were always trying to make each other better, make ourselves better, and help each other to become the best. So
that's great.
Yeah.
So at the beginning there, I know that there was some issues in getting things started up, and then, oh, we're under the umbrella of Talent Activities. Just kidding. We can't do that. We have to be a part of the theater department, and just all that, right, getting things started. Was there any time where it was just like frustrating, the process, or like getting things transitioned to one way or another way?
You know, I don't really remember early on those frustrations. Like I said, I was a part of it, but I wasn't a part of it, if that makes sense. I was there for almost every rehearsal and every performance, but the behind the scenes with like, where do we fit in? Are we, you know, student activities? Are we theater? What are, you know, I didn't really know any of that stuff. The only thing I remember being frustrated about was really, it was faculty. It was kind of this over, in my opinion, over, well, prudish, shall we say, thing of, oh, we can't make light of ourselves, or we can't make light of anything, really. We have to take things so seriously. And I remember one of the rehearsals we were doing, and I made fun of big Mormon vehicles, BMW or big Mormon wagons or whatever, BMWs, you know. And we had the dean there. I don't remember his name, but he was the dean of the College of Arts. And he was like, oh, we should not make fun of that. We should not make fun of families like that. And I was like, making fun of families? What are you talking about? I was like, I come from a big family. I'm proud of my family, but I'll make fun of the fact that we're a big family any day. I'll make fun of myself all day. Like, you know, it was very ridiculous. That's what I remember us always coming against, was that kind of a thing of like, well, it's not God's way to be silly. And whatever.
Yeah, I would love to speak a little more on that, because of course that person, that dean, is like reading way too far into it. Like, oh, you got that we were making fun of families. That's what it sounded like to you.
It sounds like you're the one that has the problem, not us.
Yeah, you're highly sensitive about big families, and that's not on me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, now it's nice. Now we're good. Okay, so. So there's a rumor, and I don't know where it got started, and I don't know, I have yet to find someone who could validate it for me, but as the story that I've heard goes, there was once a time when David A. Bednar and his wife were coming to see, they were just kind of walking around campus trying to see a show of some kind, and they kind of popped in because they heard this comedy group was performing, and they hung up their jackets, and then they went in. I think this might have been at the MC, because that makes sense in my mind that there would be a place to hang your jackets up and go inside.
Sure, yeah.
And they're like, what visiting comedy performance off-campus troupe has come to delight us with their stylings? And someone's like, oh no, this is the on-campus comedy group Comic Frenzy. And they're like, and they got up and they removed their jackets and left.
I've never heard that rumor. I've never heard that. That's funny though.
Now I just am convinced I made it up, because I've been sitting with this story my whole Comic Frenzy career, thinking that happened before my time. That happened.
Well, there was one time where he did walk out of a play.
I did hear that. Was it Spitfire Grill or something?
It was something, and it was because he had a phone call or something like that. But everyone, of course, has to postulate and say it's because he was offended. In his defense, he was a very busy man. He couldn't. It was like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He might not have been as staunch as everyone made him out to be.
No, actually, you know, I was on student council during the transition from Ricks to BYU-Idaho, and did have the opportunity to meet with him a lot, and on very one-on-one personal, he was a little silly. Not like out of character silly, but like, you know, he would talk about how he did theater in high school and I think a little bit in college. He even did a couple of short films and stuff. And he talked about how he really enjoyed it. So,
well, there you go.
In his defense, I'm going to say, yeah.
That's great.
He wasn't as prudish or judgmental as I think people make him out to be.
Yeah. So does did that happen a lot? Because I had to talk to Sarah Hendricks, who used to be Sarah Alsop.
Yeah.
I talked to her about, because she was saying that, you know, people would have the odd or the off complaint. But I remember when I was in it, they would fall and write letters and say, we saw two men on stage together pretending to be romantic. And then I was like, no, that didn't. That wasn't. I was playing a woman. That wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Ridiculous stuff like that. Well, you know, you did the Playmill.
Yes.
And when you have those conservative audiences, and look, I'm down the middle, you know, when you have those conservative audiences, you're going to have those, they just read so much into things, so far into things, and you're like, what? But speaking of Sarah, though, a quick funny story. I remember one time where she was pretending to be a cow and I went up and milked her, but that was awkward. And when I finally realized what I was doing, I was like, whoa, oh boy.
Well, Christian, that's utterly ridiculous.
Ba-dum-ching.
I know.
You're so punny.
I'm trying. I'm turning on my pun brain and I'm like, oh gosh, I'm too corny, but.
That's awesome.
Right. I just.
It was fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, did you, were you a part of like making up certain improv games? Because I know Comic Frenzy was famous for like changing the way that you play a normal improv game or making up your own.
Yeah, I think. I mean, it's been so long. I mean, it just seems like we all just sort of kind of were like, let's do. I know James was instrumental in coming up with a lot of the games. James was the heart and soul of Comic Frenzy the whole time I was there. James was like the glue, you know? He really was. And James did. He came up with a lot of the games like, you guys, we should play this. And he was never like, we're going to play this. But, you know, that's not James. That's just not within his character. But, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. And I know that I was a part of the movement when we were like, let's start doing more long form, you know? Because after a while, I remember getting bored of doing the short form. You know, it was like, okay, it's hokey, it's you know, it's too mechanical and this and that. Let's go for more organic long form where we're creating like a half an hour long show with a beginning, middle, you know, and end with a climax and a resolution and all that stuff. So I remember being a part of that movement, you know.
Yeah, because all of us, at least as I see it, as I've interviewed people, as I know people, we're theater artists, like, first of all. And so, like,
yeah.
the improvisation does mimic our hopes and dreams and thoughts of, like, this is an art form. It's not just Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Totally. And it is a, yeah, no, you hit it right there, Richard. It's an art form. It's not just a gimmicky game, but it is an art form. And it really helps you tap into, you know, kind of that, I don't even know what to call it, but just, it helps you tap into that, I almost want to say very archaic, no? Something old within all of us. It's the basic. I don't know, I'm probably not making any sense right now. But it does, it really helps you tap into that,
is it like innate?
Yes. Innate. That's a great word. That innate artistic ability that I think we all share and all have. Yeah.
Yeah.
If that made any sense, or I'm just sounding like I'm just trying to sound smart. I don't know.
Well, you are smart. Don't you worry.
I try very hard.
Okay. I kind of want you to tell the story, if you feel comfortable, about performing in a, and you can be vague if you need to be, performing in a play where someone was a little off put by your unconventional theater training and that you weren't classically trained like themselves.
Oh, are you talking about Spelling Bee? Yeah, so I did the, you know, the 2008-2009 Broadway National Tour of the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, for those of you that don't know, which most of you don't. and I played William Barfait. And it was so funny because I was the only actor that was cast in that show who didn't go to acting school, who, you know, went to Podunk, BYU, Idaho, whose theater department is duct tape and bubble gum, you know, put together kind of a thing where no professor has any real world experience. They're going to hate me if anyone hears that, but it's true. God bless them. But anyway, it was so funny because one of the actors, I'm not going to name who they were. That's vague enough. She hated me. And it came out because I wasn't trained by a reputable theatrical university or school or whatever. I was just this kid who loves improv and loves to sing and got into a Broadway national tour.
And I feel like because of that attitude, it didn't help her, you know, have a thriving Broadway career afterwards.
No, in fact, bless her heart, she hasn't done anything. Nobody's hired her. In fact, and this is one of the biggest lessons I learned. I was having dinner with Mark Minnick. He was the casting director. He was something. One of the, you know, he was up there with Phoenix Entertainment. You know, I was having dinner with him, and he was like, "Yeah." He goes, "I don't care how talented you are. If you are a blank or a blank to work with, I'll never hire you, and I'll never recommend you, and all that stuff." And sadly, she hasn't worked since then. So
there you go. I would say,
yeah. What's interesting though is I could have flipped it. I could have flipped it and said, "Yeah, well, Spelling Bee started as an improvised show, which it did, and I studied in New York City also improvisation for a very short period, but long, you know, I mean, I studied it with the UCB and did it for a year, so I could have turned it, but I, of course, I wasn't going to do that. That would have been mean.
Right. It made me recall that when I was, you know, after I went to BYU, Idaho, I went to Southern Virginia University and yeah. I did my senior thesis paper on improvisation is a theatrical art form, you know?
Yes, mm-hmm. It is.
And so I definitely wrote about my opinion, you know, inspired by Comic Frenzy, inspired by, you know, other artists. Yeah. I was like, yeah, we got this. So I did all my thesis research on, oh my gosh, improv is legit. And it's true. You can apply those skills to, you know, just being in a straight play or being in a musical, or just a lot of improv troupes, as you know, will train business people how to come out of their shell and be better at their job. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm asked to speak at like business retreats and teach improv. And I mean, it really does unlock, I think, more so than anything. I mean, I think I've had traditional acting classes and a lot of improvisational acting classes, and improvisational acting classes have helped, I will say, have helped me tap more into the naturability, if that's a word, of what acting is. And I hate the word acting. I always, whenever I teach acting, I say, it's not acting, it's reacting. It's organic reacting. But that's too long to say, so we shorten it to acting.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. I feel the same way. It's hard for me when I'm doing improv too, to think of anything as a game or a gimmick as well, because I don't think of it as that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So you were technically in Comic Frenzy from the beginning. You became a performer. Then how long did you stay with them?
Ooh, I was in Comic Frenzy, I think a total of 4 years. 4 years. Because I was at BYU Idaho for 5.5. No, so I was in Comic Frenzy, oh my gosh. Yeah, for 4.5 years, something like that. A long time.
Yeah.
A long time.
And did you, like, I asked this to Sarah too, and I think it's a valid question. Were you surprised that, you know, we did the math, it's almost 20 years since the beginning of Comic Frenzy?
If I hadn't literally just thought about that yesterday, it would have been a surprise when you just mentioned that. But it was a surprise when I thought about that yesterday. I was like, let's see, how many years has it been? It's been almost a quarter of a century since we started Comic Frenzy. And it's still going, from yes, my understanding.
And it is. And I was worried too, because with the pandemic and everything, I was like, did they cancel it? Is it still going? But as far as my sources have told me, it's still going.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a big part of that is Trevor Hill still being there and being now he's full-time faculty, I believe, isn't he?
I think so.
Which, I love that man. I love that man so much. Trevor was also, he was instrumental with, I have the utmost respect for that guy. He is phenomenal.
When I've visited him in charge of Comic Frenzy, going on campus, seeing him lead the class and everything and watching the shows in the last, I didn't go, you know, during pandemic years, but maybe 2018, 17, 16, around then, I would go visit. He did such a great job of like you were saying at the end of you guys like being original to Comic Frenzy, you're like trying to transition it out of just being one way and making it, you know, long form. And he has this great way of like combining, like maybe the first act of the show is like a little more short form, but then by the second act, they're doing like these full long form productions. And it's really cool to see the way he does it and just the way improv revamps itself year after year.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. It's so crazy. I think I've heard, and maybe people are biased. Some people said, oh, it's not as good as it used to be. But I think that's the case with everything. People say that about Saturday Night Live and everything. And I just wonder, you know, but there's a true thing about the fact, like with the original cast of Saturday Night Live, where they were saying something as well as being funny. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like there's a purpose, there's a message, there's a counterculture to it.
Yeah. Like we came about at a time where, especially in a very small, conservative little school like BYU-Idaho, in trying to, you know, bring, not, I don't want to downplay what we did as just being goofy, but trying to create a space where people could laugh. And we did test the limits a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah, I think it's bad when we become complacent. And one of the things that we always did was we always tried to shake things up. So I think we did a good job of that.
I think so, too. And like coming from my standpoint, like I was a fan of Comic Frenzy before I joined it later. I definitely put this this kind of level of like, oh, they're way above. They're like the best team, the originals, anyone who was in.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
And when it's funny because when we're doing it, we're going, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
We're trying to figure it out as we're going along. You know, we're going, what are we doing? What do we, okay, let's try this. Let's do this, you know, trial and error. But I think we were able to smooth out a lot of the things, you know, for later casts, yourself and included, and but at the same time, I'm sure that you guys also found challenges. How do we make it even more smooth? How do we, you know, challenge ourselves to become more, well, to become better yeah, improvisers, better actors?
Oh yeah, totally. And I think, yeah, I think it's a testament to the trailblazers, if you will, like everyone coming before, and then. Like we had to deal with a transitional period. Everyone has that transitional period.
Yep. Yep.
And then kind of passing the baton to the next people.
Yeah. But I think it, and it's the fact that it continues to go on is a testament to what it is. You know, the fact that people continue to enjoy, you know, I run into students all the time who are even currently at BYU-Idaho, and they may be home, you know, during, you know, one semester they're off or whatever. And they're, you know, running them and I'd say, oh, have you heard of Comic Frenzy? And they go, oh yeah, totally. I'm like, oh yeah, 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 yeah. I helped start that. I was a part of the first, you know, so that was really cool.
Definitely. I think Comic Frenzy is a staple to the campus and the community.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and something that, you know, through the years has grown is, like, it was just Comic Frenzy at first, But now I hear that there's, you know, sketch comedy on campus.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, honor. Wait, it's not honor code. It's honor. Oh, something honor. Humor code. It's a humor code. It's a play on honor code.
Okay, okay, okay.
So they have that, and then they have other comedy, you know, staples on campus that I think, you know, couldn't have started if there wasn't this big basis of the improv troupe of campus.
Right, right, right.
And ironically enough, it was Jeff Blake who had gone to BYU Provo and visited their campus and saw Divine Comedy. And,
that's right.
Yeah, and thought, oh, we don't have anything like that at BYU Idaho. And then that's what started Comic Frenzy. So it's kind of cool that later then they got their humor code and, you know, there's other things on campus.
Yeah. Well, it's cool because, speaking of Provo, we did we did a week long like a 3 or 4 day long. Did Jeff talk about that? Like a workshop with Comedy Sports.
I don't think he necessarily brought up the workshop, but he talked about Comedy Sports, but you guys went over there and did that's important. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, and it was eye opening. Just amazing. But yeah, I just think it's amazing that it's still going. And the fact that comedy just in itself, even if it was a different iteration or even called something else, the fact that there is still some comedic entity at BYU Idaho, I think is phenomenal, because we need that. We need comedy. You know, we need that chance to laugh. I mean, it's proven that, you know, we live healthier lives when we laugh.
Right.
So, yeah.
100%.
We did have, I don't know, do you remember, did anybody talk about when we had Comic Frenzy and then we had another, it was the exact same team, but there was this discrepancy or this thing where we couldn't perform off campus as Comic Frenzy because the university, I guess at that point, were like, no, we own Comic Frenzy or whatever. So we actually, same exact players, it was all the same people, but we had to go under a different name.
Yeah, was that the Hysterics?
The Hysterics, that's what it was. Yep, I remember now.
Yeah, so that was big drama too, because like you say, the campus or the university or the theater department, everybody was like, no, Comic Frenzy is just for us.
Right. And it was like, wait a second. Us students created it. And that's my dad.
Oh, hi.
No, you're good, Dad. You're good. You're good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, that was a lot of drama too. That was crazy. I do remember that drama.
Yeah. Were you around when they did the tsunami relief fund?
Yes. Yes. And that was awesome.
Yeah.
I can't remember how much we raised, but
Jeff was thinking at least 1500, if not more, but
I was going to say, I know it was over 1000.
Yeah.
You know, and for, you know, asking a buck or two for tickets, you know, not bad, you know, and then asking for donations, it was something around there. It was like 1500 bucks, which I know doesn't sound like a lot. At the time, as poor students, that sounded like a fortune.
Yeah.
You know, right now I'm like, man, that's 2 weeks of living. But, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, that was for us. That was like, oh, my gosh, we're able to, you know, raise money and send it over to the tsunami survivors.
Yeah. Yeah. So Comic Frenzy, pretty influential comedy group, pretty influential, like, staple of a university from nothing, from out of the ashes. No sort of, you know, improv scene at the university. So surprising. And then here, 20 years.
20 years. 20 years. And what's crazy is that there's a number of us who were apart from the beginning who are still, I mean, we work professionally in the industry and we use our comedy chops on a daily basis. I was just, you know, today working on a project with Harmon Brothers or an Angel Studios that's coming out. It's an animated series and it's hilarious. Just working on, you know, throwing out lines and stuff. Then we're, you know, just, yeah. And it all stems from Comic Frenzy. It really does. I mean, getting Spelling Bee stems from Comic Frenzy. if it hadn't been for my, you know, improv skills in that, and then just everything that I am involved in as a writer, as a producer, and as an actor, you know, it all stems from Comic Frenzy.
Yeah, Sarah had mentioned the same things that she's like, oh my gosh, my friend writes for that TV show, or look, that commercial, that's my friend in it from Comic Frenzy, or that, you know, that movie, or you know.
Yeah. I know. Oh man. And James and I will still scheme together. We're like, oh, I got that. I'm writing this script. Can you help me out with this? And vice versa. And, you know, it's just, yeah. The friendships, the, you know, and we have the original group we get on and we do, it's called the COVID Frenzy. Have you heard of this?
I think I have.
So James spearheaded this, and you know, it's pretty much the original team will get on, and we just had one literally Thursday, Friday night, and we'll play You Don't Know Jack or Jackbox games together and stuff, and we try to, you know, crack each other up, and it's so fun. But the friendships that we have that have lasted that long, and it's truly a brotherhood and a sisterhood, you know, like those who I've performed with in those very early stages of Comic Frenzy are still some of the dearest friends and people that I just absolutely love and adore. Yeah.
Well, wonderful.
Even those who at the time, sorry, Richard, I totally cut you out there, but even those, I'm not going to name any names, but even those that we might have not gotten along that well then, I absolutely, when you, the older you get, the more you realize how sweet are the good memories that we have, you know? And I sincerely, truly love all the people that I had the opportunity to perform with on stage. Cause you know, I'm sure it's nothing like, you know, going to war and with your war brothers and sisters, but in a sense you are battling an uphill battle with trying to make an audience laugh, to be entertained. And that is some of the scariest times, or the times that I've been most scared was going on stage like that. So
totally. All right. So the thought that I was having earlier, but I forgot, but now I remembered, we'll just put it in here. It doesn't really make sense now conversationally.
You can edit it.
I'll edit it. So it's that we learned improv, like you say, at this very conservative university. So we're not going up on stage and dropping F-bombs and, you know, saying all the four-letter words and, you know, go straight to potty humor. Yeah, poo-poo.
Yeah. Yeah.
How is that good? How is that bad? How is that?
I will say this. It causes you to be more, to tap into, it causes you to be more creative. Potty humor, I mean, I'll laugh at certain potty humor just like the next person. I mean, come on, who doesn't like a fart joke or whatever, you know, right? But within the confines of having to stay clean, it truly does. It causes you to have to be more creative because you're not drawing upon the easy laugh. You're going for much more of a nuanced, layered, funny. And it's interesting, when I studied at UCB, one of the big things was they would say, you know, don't go for the easy laugh, the pee pee poo poo ha ha ha, you know, penis vagina ha 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 ha. Go for the highbrow laugh. And yet when I would see improv troops perform at UCB, a lot of them, they resorted back to the pee pee poo poo. And it was like, sometimes it was funny, but most of the time it was like, all right, enough. Okay, I get it. But like Amy Poehler, I would watch her perform live, and she would pull from the, you know, and her team, I felt like they were really using the top of their head, that they're going from the top of their head. And so anyway, so back to your original question, Richard, is, and I think I already answered it, but really it does. It really forces you to have to be more creative, period. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've always thought that too. Like, how blessed am I that I learned improv at BYU Idaho? Because yeah,
right.
We didn't go straight for the easy laugh. We had to be really creative, and we had to, you know, one might call it stifling, but I think it's a challenge that it uplifted and it made it better.
Absolutely. Yep. Nope. Couldn't agree more. I don't think it was stifling. I think it was necessity is the mother of invention, right? You know, and it's like trying to produce a major film or a TV show on a very limited budget. Instead of just throwing money at it, which is the easy solution, it causes you to be more creative. And I think that being more creative helps create a more superior product. I don't want to sound, you know, so high and mighty and hoity-toity or whatever, but I think it does. I really think it does cause you to create a much more superior product.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
I think this is a point where just say whatever you want to about Comic Frenzy, whether it be a fond memory, this, that, or the other, because I feel like I've asked all the questions I could ask.
Yeah. Let me see here. Fun memories of Comic Frenzy. I just remember early on, we were so passionate about it, and sometimes we would get into very heated arguments. But I think that helped us to grow. In fact, I know that helped us to grow. All right, here's a funny memory for you. So we were it was during rehearsals. Unfortunately, an audience wasn't able to see this. Otherwise, it would have been classic. But we were doing a sketch, or we were doing an improv scene where it was New Year's Eve, right? And we're doing the big countdown. And Ben Parks was standing next to me, and we were like, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. And we got to 1. It was like, Happy New Year. And I grabbed Ben, and I tried to put my thumbs on his lips to kiss him. And my thumbs didn't quite make it. So we full-on smooched right there, and it was fantastic. Good memory. I'm sure Ben remembers that one very fondly.
Oh, well. I love that.
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, we just had so much fun, and we literally lived together as well.
Yeah, the Comic Frenzy house.
We had the Comic Frenzy house and the theater girls. Some of the theater girls were across the street in that house, and we were always at each other's houses. And living with Jeff. Oh dear, Jeff. I love Jeff. But one time, he brought home a puppy. Brought him a puppy dog, and he had it in the back. He had it in the basement. He kept it in the basement, and it pooped everywhere. And that's where we had to do our laundry and everything. Anyway, a random story. And then he finally put it in his car, and his car smelled like a kennel.
Oh no!
It was the worst thing in the world. Oh, Jeff. But yeah, I just want to say I'm so glad that you're doing this, Richard. This has been fun because it's really helped me to remember a lot of the memories. And I did. I absolutely loved. That was what kept me going at BYU Idaho. It literally was the one thing that kept me going. We didn't have professor oversight or anything like that. It was student run, student led, and it was, in my opinion, the most innovative thing that was happening on that campus. It really was. And as far as theater performing is concerned.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I think as far as supporting the theater department, it's no overhead cost. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Totally. Yep. Yeah.
You're just putting it right back into the department, and it's helpful. Yep. So, yeah. What a great little business opportunity there.
I know. And we use that to pay for our t-shirts also, and the posters, which we have all the – I mean, those posters were amazing by Mike Lawhead and somebody else worked on them. I can't remember. But, you know, there's a whole collection of them, and they're phenomenal. I mean, they hold up.
Yeah, they're great posters. We would always, as soon as the show was over, we would tear them off the wall so we could have our own copies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, that's awesome.
So awesome.
You know, that's funny. Brady Moss and I have talked. We're talking about doing a podcast, the most random podcast that you could possibly think of. Brady was here with his wife this weekend.
I think I saw a picture on Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah. I freaking love Brady and Libby. But yeah, we're thinking about doing one where we literally just have like a subject and we just go off on a subject for like an hour.
You guys would be good for that. Yeah, if you use Zencastr, it's really easy.
Is it? Does it cost? Like, what's?
I just do the free version, so it's free. Yeah.
Kidding. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
I know. Yeah. So here's a helpful tip: Zencastr.com. You could do just audio, just video, or you could do both. Yeah.
Both. Got to do both.
Exactly. You got to have awesome. That. Have those memories. You know.
Oh, totally. Well, where do you fly to next?
Tomorrow, I just go back to Seattle.
So is that where you're living right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Seattle. Mm-hmm. Love Seattle. I had some of the best clam chowder I ever had. Yeah, was in Seattle.
They have good stuff. Yeah, the seafood is good because we're close to that waterfront, you know, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I grew up on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah, you
did. Where did you grow up at?
I grew up there, and then you were California, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, the West Coast. Brady's in Oregon. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So we're all over.
That's crazy. Right. So crazy.
Yeah. So how do you, what's your favorite thing about being a flight attendant?
I like the benefits of travel, you know. So if I need to fly somewhere, it's easy.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, when I'm at a layover, like today I'm in Tampa, and so I'm just like, I just got to walk out and I'm in Florida today, but I'm not going to be in Florida tomorrow. So it's just kind of fun.
Yeah. That's awesome. I thought when I was younger, I was like, man, that'd be fun.
Yeah. It's a good job.
I'm too old for that now.
Yeah, I know.
It would be fun though.
That's right. It's a good way to meet people.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Meet people and travel.
Yeah.
Those are two of my favorite things.
Exactly. So right up your alley. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, thank you, Richard, so much. Oh,
it's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you too. I'm glad that technology has finally come to this point where we could see each other.
Absolutely. We should have like a whole comic frenzy.
I think
have you ever been in comic frenzy?
Yeah.
We should do something.
I think we should, especially for this. Like I might be able to organize at least something.
Oh, that would be way cool.
Yeah.
How many people have you talked to so far?
I've talked to Brady. I've talked to,
He's like, do you know this Richard guy? I was like, yeah. I was like, Richard's good people.
Oh, good.
Like, all right. Okay.
Yeah, because coincidentally enough, he did respond to me probably around the time that you guys were hanging out. So I think he had to like vouch. Like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, I love Brady. And that you're right. That was a good impression. Like, you know this Richard guy? What's his deal? Okay. He's good. Okay. Yeah, he was his grandpa, I think, lived in our ward for many years.
Oh,
so you're
kidding.
So we have like this family, like whatever, like my family's are friends with his family, but
yeah,
that didn't mean that we really knew each other, except for I did see him in Comic Frenzy, so I was like, oh, he's famous and he's kind of related to our ward. Oh, I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I did interview Brady and Jeff Blake and Sarah and you. Awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Who else do you have on the docket?
On the docket, I have Ben Parks.
Oh, Ben.
I have James Best.
Yes.
Yeah. He suggested to do Valerie, and I'm like, of course, Valerie's welcome.
Yeah, you got to do Valerie.
Yeah. Annie.
Howington.
Yeah. And there's probably a couple more that I just can't think of right now, but those are the ones that I have like set plans to do. Liz Whitaker, you know.
Oh my gosh, Liz,
she was in it to win it because she was in it, you know, crossover with your guys' time, crossover with our time, you know.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of history.
I totally forgot to,
wow. I know. She's always good. And she does the acting too. So like now, like she does.
Okay. Cool.
In Utah probably, so somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Utah.
Oh, Utah.
I do love Utah.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, it has, like we said about Idaho, you know, it has its ups and downs.
That's true. Yeah. Well, awesome, Richard. I'm going to grab some dinner.
All right. Take care.
So
thank
good
you.
To see you.
So good to see you, too.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. This is, I can't wait to see the finished product.
Me, too. I'm excited that everyone's so in it to win it, so it's helpful.
Awesome. Good. Awesome, Richard. You take care.
You, too. Love you.
Love you too. Safe flight back to Washington.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. We'll see you.
See you. Bye.